to be especially prominent in chapter 5, and then again here in chapter 8, we have hope. And hope in the book of Romans is not that wishy-washy sort of, I kind of hope this happens kind of a thing. Not the way that we commonly use the word. I hope it won't rain tomorrow, but I don't know if it will or it won't. Or I hope the Maple Leafs do well, but we can pretty well expect that they won't. Or I hope this party wins the next election, or I hope we don't have another election for a little while. It's not that kind of a word. It's not like a kite that blows in a wind. It's like an anchor that holds fast, that you can count on, depend on. Hope in the Bible is a word closely connected with faith. It is the absolute certainty and assurance that God will do what He says He will do. And one of the things God has said He will do for us is He will complete the work He has done in us. We will not always have this battle with indwelling sin, and we will not always feel the aches and pains and effects of sin in our bodies, because He's going to complete the work of sanctification, and He's going to redeem these bodies. We have hope. We have hope even in our groaning. We are, in fact, as this passage says, saved by hope or saved in hope. In this particular text, Paul has especially in mind this hope, this looking forward to the redemption of our bodies. It's one of the benefits of our adoption as children of God. When we enter into the full experience of our adoption, we will have perfect bodies, untainted by sin, and not subject to disease or decay. So do not let your groaning be without hope. We might well ask, why do we hope? And there are two different ways to ask this question. One has to do with the fact that we hope because we don't yet see. As Paul put it very clearly, verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. He said, had said in verse 24, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? Why do we hope? Well, we hope because we don't yet possess. We have hope, but we don't yet have what we're hoping for. There's another way to ask this question. When we say, why do we hope? The question can mean, do we have a good reason for hoping? Do we have a warrant for this hope? Do we have a justification for the hope that we have? And the answer is, yes, we do. Back in verse 11, Paul had said, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and we know that He does, because Paul had said that if any man does not have the Spirit, he's none of Christ's. Okay? So if the Spirit dwells in you, and He does, then He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. We do have a good warrant for this hope, because God Himself said He would do it. And because He's given us the Spirit, the same Spirit who raised up Christ from the dead, we have a reason to hope. And that's why we can wait with patience. Here's another word that's used differently in Romans than the way we usually use it. Patience is not simply the ability to twiddle your thumbs in the doctor's office without losing your cool. Patience is endurance. It is the ability to carry on with the work God's given you in the face of opposition and in the experience of waiting. It's not simply waiting, it's waiting while enduring. And we can do that because we know we have a warrant for our hope. We have a good reason to hope. So do not let your groaning be without hope. In this life, we often pray for deliverance from physical suffering or from some trial or circumstance, and we don't know how God will answer. We look at the Bible for examples, and we see how God delivered some and gave extra grace to others. We read about Paul, who asked for God to remove an affliction 3 times, and God said, no, but my grace is sufficient. We know where we are, justified, We know where we're headed, glorified, but we don't know exactly what path will lead between the two. My technical theological term for that is that we don't know the stuff in between. We don't. We know this, and we know what's coming. We don't know everything in between. There are some trials, and we ask. There are trials in my life, there are trials in your life, and we ask. We ask for healing. We don't know. Will God heal, or will He give greater grace? Will He deliver me from a trial that's too great to bear, or will He put me through it and give me the grace to be stronger than I thought I could be? I don't know. But I do know this. I know that this strife and this groaning will not always be. I know that someday groaning and hoping will give way to rejoicing forever. I'll not always hope because someday I'll possess. And I'll not always groan because someday I'll possess. So I say to you tonight, do not expect to have hope without groaning. And don't let your groaning be without hope. Let's take a few moments and put some feet to this, some application. By way of application, I want first of all to warn you, beware lest your groaning become complaining or bitterness. It's okay to groan. It's okay to mourn. It's not okay to accuse God. It's not okay to be bitter and grumpy, grouchy. Look up murmur. Look up bitterness. Look up complaining in a good concordance and find out what God thinks about it. He has nothing good to say about them. So beware of that. Groaning's okay. It's a reasonable response to the experience of being in this sin-cursed condition, redeemed but not fully entered into our inheritance. That's okay. But the devil can take a good thing and he can twist it. In fact, that's really all that he does. He's not creative, really. He's not original. He doesn't really come up with anything on his own. He always takes something that God said was good and he twists it. So beware of that. Groaning's okay. Don't let it turn into bitterness. Don't let it turn you into bitterness. By the way, I think there are some great preventive medicines for that. The Bible school that I went to was led... I'm so grateful for the Bible school that I went to. Our president, Dr. Les Olala, used to make sure that once a week in chapel we set aside some time for testimonies. They were called works of God testimonies. And we did it because he said that the children of Israel apostatized not because they forgot the words of God, but because they forgot the works of God. You can be completely orthodox in your theology and become apostate through ingratitude and bitterness. So take some time for thanksgiving. Take some time to testify to your brothers and sisters of what God has done for you and hear what God has done for them. There's some good preventive medicine. Here's another practical application by way of exhortation. Later on in this epistle, Paul will say to the believers, "Weep with those that weep." Now, if we can weep with those that weep, maybe we can groan with those who groan. I know it can be tough to put up sometimes with the organ recitals that we get from people, right? This organ isn't working right, and this joint hurts, and this... But you know, it might be a great act of Christian love to just bite your tongue and listen, and then groan with that person. And maybe somebody will have the Christian love to do the same for you when it's your turn. If we can rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep, maybe we can groan with those who groan. And then finally, I would exhort you that if we do have hope, even in our groaning, that you should nourish that hope. You should feed it. How do you do that? I think first and foremost, by meditating upon passages like Romans 5 and Romans 8, the hope of glory. Learn it, read it, reread it. Ask your pastor questions about it. Memorize it, meditate on it, embrace it with all of your being. Start there. Maybe you'd be helped by reading some good Christian biography as well. Maybe you would be helped by being faithful in the assembling together with other believers. I'm looking at a Sunday night crowd. You're probably the ones who are already faithful there. But I'd encourage you to continue in your faithfulness. You need one another. You need one another. You can exhort one another. Do not expect to have hope without groaning, and do not let your groaning be without hope. Now let me say one final word to any who are hearing this, present here or perhaps hearing it online. If you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, if you have not recognized that you are a sinner, that God is right to be angry with you, like it or not, that you do face judgment, and that your only hope is Jesus Christ. If you have not received perfect righteousness from Christ and believed that your sin has been atoned for by His blood, if you're not trusting Christ and Christ alone, then I have no word of hope for you except turn to Him now. This hoping and groaning, groaning and hoping, this is meaningless to you. If you are without Christ, your groaning is nothing more than a prelude to weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Say, oh, now you're getting manipulative. No, not if this is true. If a man is standing in the middle of the 401 with a semi-truck coming 120 clicks right at him and you scream and shout and try to scare him, that's not manipulation. That is both reasonable and compassionate. And I'm here to tell you that you don't know if you have another breath. And if you're groaning now, what will your groaning be when you are forever separated from the God who made you? I plead with you, turn to Christ and Christ alone, not to your own goodness, not to any set of rituals, not to any membership in any club or religious organization, but to Christ and Christ alone. He is your only hope. Your only hope. Believers, it's okay to groan, but let's hope as we groan. Shall we pray together? Thank you, God, for this opportunity and for the attentiveness of this audience. Bless your word to their hearts and mine for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's turn in your hymnals to number 610, if I have the number right. 610. How firm a foundation. And if you're able to stand, I would invite you to stand with me as we sing all six stanzas of this great hymn of assurance, How Firm a Foundation. Thank you. Brother Wilfie Brown here? Wave your hand at me. Are you here? Oh, he's back there. All right. Brother Fraser, would you close us in prayer?